Let us pray. Our Father, we thank you how much you love us in Jesus Christ, and this morning we pray that you would speak to us and build us up and help us to love you and love others like Jesus loved us. And we pray this in his holy name. Amen. There is a perception out there that sex is the ultimate way to love. Yes, there's other expressions of love and intimacy. I could give you flowers or something. Maybe on Reese's ordination, I'll give him some flowers. But sex is number one. It is the high point of intimacy within human relationships. And so the counterpoint is that without sex, you are only able to experience and only able to express B-grade level intimacy. Without sex, you can't show or feel the deepest, truest, purest form of love. Do you think that's true? I wanted to find out. So I did what seems to be the best way to find these kind of things out these days. I got onto the internet and I asked Reddit. If you don't know what Reddit is, ask a kid with a fancy phone. And so I was looking through the Reddit forums. There's there's bazillions of questions like this. But it wasn't a very productive approach. Because if you're foolish enough, like me, to look for the answers to anything truly important on an online forum, or ask a question of an online forum like, is sex the ultimate expression of love? Well, you'll get every possible answer under the sun, and they'll all be downvoted. You'll get yes, you'll get no, you'll get maybe, you'll get sort of. And you'll also get a front seat view of the conflict and the contradiction and the confusion that our culture has about these kind of things. So I don't recommend that approach for that question or for any other question. But instead, I did what good ministers do. I looked to a much better place, indeed the best place, to find guidance on the things that are truly important, and that is to God's Word. And God's Word has a lot of things to say about sex and human relationships, and it has a lot to say about those things in the Song of Songs. During our mornings in January at Berwick Anglican Church, as you know, we've been going through together the Song of Songs. And the answer, well, not the answer to that question, but of course, does sex express love and intimacy? And well, yes, of course it does. And we saw last week, you can listen to the sermon online if you like, the Song of Songs is a series of love poems, a song of songs, that tells the tale of two young lovers who kind of represent every man and every woman, or every boy, every girl. And, they meet and they have this desire for each other, and then the song, it tells of their maturing love and then, the development of their relationship as, they explore both the joys and the challenges of growing together. And last Sunday, we saw that the Song of Songs, which is in the Bible, shows us that sex between a husband and a wife is a very special part of the human experience. And it's something that God designed, and it's something that God gave to humanity as a good gift to be enjoyed. Sex is a wonderful expression of love and intimacy, and it's one that deepens and strengthens the marriage bond. And this morning's passage from the Song of Songs is particularly sexual. It describes the wedding night of the two young lovers. Did you notice that? Things really get going from chapter 4. And what's happening here is that the two young lovers, they're finally married, and they're finally alone for the first time. And then from chapter 4, rolling forward, the song builds up to the high point of the book. The last verse of our passage that we had this morning, chapter 5, verse 1, it's the exact center of the song. There's exactly 111 poetic lines before this verse and exactly 111 poetic lines after this verse. So, you know, that's, they're trying to tell us something there. And this chapter 5, verse 1, this is the high point. It's the literal and the poetic center of the book, of the Song of Songs. And in this verse, the wedding night of the two young lovers ends, as most wedding nights do. Finally, after so much longing and desire, their love is consummated. And they give themselves to each other and they have sex. So, yes, sex. It's been designed by God and it's been designed as a high point of human intimacy. That's why it's at this literal center of this book that's all about sex and human relationships. And as we heard last week, if the season is right for you, it's not always right for all of us, and sex is a gift to be enjoyed within the boundaries of marriage, but if the season is right, if you're married, go for it. Because sex is a good gift from God to be enjoyed. And it's a wonderful expression and a wonderful experience of love. And so we'll get back to our first question. So is sex the ultimate experience of love? No. After the wedding night section of the Song of Songs, you know, we're only halfway, it still goes on and on for several chapters. And the relationship of the two lovers, now married, now physically intimate, also goes on. And after their marriage, and you know, after the beginning of their expressing their love physically for each other, it's not all smooth sailing. And as we'll see in future sermons, in future weeks, sex alone does not make a perfect relationship. But even in our passage today, the wedding night, and, you know, although this is the wedding night of the lovers and it's the consummation of what they've been desiring for so long, you know, what do they do? In this pretty long passage, they're not just using their bodies to express their love. Song of Songs, of course, it's obvious that it's a book about physical love. That's its main topic. But also, it's a book about love more generally, and in particular about verbal love. God designed us as human beings to both express and experience love in a number of different ways. And we see this in beautiful detail in the Song of Songs. And we especially see it in how the man and the woman, the two lovers, how they love each other with their words. Chapter 4, verse 1. The wedding ceremony is over. The husband is finally alone with his new bride. And what does he do? Well, he speaks to her. And he says, "How beautiful you are, my darling. Oh, how beautiful." He's loving her with his words. He's expressing how he feels about her. He's appreciating her. He's taking delight in her verbally with his words. Also, he's giving her pleasure. He's affirming her. He's building her up and he's being kind to her with his words. Verse 9 and 10, he's continuing. This section is beautiful. It's one of my favorites. It makes me think of my wife. He says, "You have stolen my heart, my sister, my bride. You have stolen my heart with one glance of your eyes, with one jewel of your necklace. How delightful is your love, my sister, my bride. How much more pleasing is your love than wine, and the fragrance of your perfume than any spice. How wonderful, you know, how joyous, how encouraging, how loving it is to be spoken to and to speak like this. We see here an intimate and tender love being expressed that's not physical. Now, the Song of Songs is the greatest love poem ever written, inspired by God the Holy Spirit, recited by Israel's greatest poets, put in the Bible. And not all of us have the eloquence to express our love verbally and speak like this all the time. I certainly don't. And of course, nobody has the presence of mind to speak like this on their wedding night. This is poetry expressing an ideal. It's not meant to describe what loving speech actually sounds like in everyday life. But what it does teach us is that we can and should express love in many ways, including with our words. And this kind of non-physical love, it's not B grade, it's not secondary, it's not optional. And this passage of the Song of Songs, and really the whole book, it shows us that sex, as wonderful as it is, it's not the ultimate, nor is it the only expression of love. Love is our self-giving to the other, to build them up. And we see the two lovers giving themselves to each other to build the other up. And that is expressed in many ways. And loving with our words, just using, you know, everyday, ordinary, sometimes awkward speech, is a good gift that God has given us with which we can express and experience intimacy. Loving with words is it's a great way for all of us to build others up and to strengthen our personal relationships. And that, of course, applies to those of us who are married, but also to all of us, married, single, widowed, divorced, all of us with our family and our friends and our, you know, we've expressing love in our relationships of all kinds. Of course, how you do that, you know, works a little differently across the different classes of your relationships. If you're going back to work tomorrow, Monday morning, and, you know, it's probably not a good idea to express your love, for your colleagues or your boss, you know, by speaking like the lovers do in the Song of Songs. It may not be appreciated. It may not be appropriate. But the use of words is one of the best ways to express, you know, love in the general sense. When you speak words, you know, of kindness, of affirmation, of encouragement, and how we speak, you know, when we speak to each other with care and respect and affection, this builds others up and it strengthens your platonic relationships. The caring use of our words, it can bring just a little bit of love and blessing, you know, back into the world. How we speak to people at work, at school, those that we speak to on the phone in call centres, how we speak to people at the supermarket, how we speak to people at church. It's a great opportunity, just a little bit each day, to sow Christ-like love into the world. But for those of us who are married, loving well with words is also the good, it's also a great foundation for loving well physically. Good sex is the fruit of a good relationship. Just like the lovers in the Song of Songs, even on their wedding night, they loved first with their words and then second with their bodies. Anglican minister David Walter, who's written a very helpful article on the Song of Songs, he wisely observes this. He says, "We ought not to expect that we can damage each other with our words during the day, and then as husband and wife, presume to love each other with our bodies at night. Indeed, the way we use our words is a much better barometer of our love, because loving one another with words is much more difficult than loving with sex. So if you're married and you want to enrich your sex life, there's an easy way to do that. You can do so by being even better verbal lovers. You know, speak words of kindness and affirmation and love to each other and speak in loving tones, and it will build up your partner, it will build up your relationship, and good sex is the fruit of a good relationship. Also, if you're not yet married, but you might like to be one day, you can prepare for a healthy marriage and a healthy sex life by first learning to love others well with your words. And for all of us, we can invest into all of our different relationships and, you know, reap the benefit of stronger friendships, stronger communities by loving well with our words. You have a great opportunity to practice this in just about 40 minutes after the service at morning tea. You know, find someone, maybe someone you don't know well, or someone you've known for years, and, you know, build them up by what and how you speak to them. Another way to love that isn't physical is our use of time. And we see that in the Song of Songs as well. The Song of Songs closes in a very lovely scene. The two lovers, now married for a while presumably, are sitting content in each other's company. And the woman says to the man, "Come away with me, my lover." And what she means is, you know, in a less poetic, more prosaic sense, might be, you know, "Darling, let's book some more time together in our diaries." Simply making time to spend with others, you know, your marriage partner or other people, it's a great way to give of yourself to them and to express love and to build others up. And of course, this is true for married couples, but it's true also for all of us in all of our relationships with our friends and our family, fellowship with our brothers and sisters in church. By using our time, we express and we experience love. Love and its expression involves the whole person. Love is giving of oneself to the other to build them up. Sex and physical intimacy is just one part of love. And as wonderful a blessing as sex within a healthy marriage is, it's not a necessary part of expressing love. It's not a necessary part of experiencing love, and nor is it the ultimate expression of love. And we see that clearly in God and His expression of love. And we see it most clearly in God's clearest expression of His love, which is in Jesus. That Jesus was loving is beyond debate. But Jesus was single. Jesus did not need sex to express His love. Jesus never married. But look at how Jesus, as a single man, related to others and how He loved and was loved by women. If you read the Gospels carefully, you'll notice that women were among Jesus' most beloved disciples. They followed Him in Galilee. They followed Him in Judea. They ministered to Him and to the 12 from their possessions. When others fled, women witnessed the crucifixion and the burial of Jesus. And women were the first witnesses to His resurrection and the first to be sent to tell the good news. And they loved Him. And he loved women as well. Remember the story when the disciples You know, they were surprised to find Jesus talking to a woman by the well in Samaria. But there he was, sharing the good news of who he was, the Messiah, with her. And, you know, remember the story of when, you know, a woman wet Jesus' feet with her tears and dried them with her hair. Jesus affirms her and forgives her her sins. Jesus defended a woman accused of adultery and, you know, let her go uncondemned and told her to go forth and leave her life of sin, which is what she needed to hear. In all of these ways, Jesus and his intimacy, he scandalizes his contemporaries. But he was simply loving these people. He's loving them with his words. He's loving them with his time. And he's giving of himself to them to build them up and to be a channel for God to work in their lives. There's a pure intimacy that's displayed, you know, so marvelously in Jesus and his love for others. You know, and we see this just in his everyday relationships, both with women and of course with men too. Because Jesus came into the world in love to restore and to redeem others. He came for love. And we see that most clearly demonstrated by Jesus' death for us on the cross. As Jesus himself said in John's Gospel, "My command is this, love each other as I have loved you. Greater love has no one than this, to lay down one's life for one's friends." The kind of self-giving love and intimacy that marked Jesus, you know, it's been lost from the world. And in part, that's why Jesus comes, to bring it back. And, you know, as the effects of sin, you know, reaped its destructive influence on our society, on our world, on ourselves, you know, our relationships and our culture were no longer marked by this pure Christ-like intimacy, which is how God designed us to live and to love. But because of sin and the fall, that it's like love is no longer the world's native language. But as Christians, we're called to help start bringing it back, following in the footsteps of Jesus by imitating his Christ-like love. And as Christians, one of the things that the Song of Songs reminds us of is to long for the return of intimacy in all human relationships. Yes, expressed physically between a husband and a wife, but also for pure Christ-like love to be expressed everywhere. So all relationships are just giving to each other and building each other up. You know, and doing this with our words, doing with this with our time, and doing this with every part of our life. Amen.